Welcome back to the Moss Truck Outlaws List podcast. I'm Vincent, as always, with Phil. We're here, episode number 34, another week, another podcast. Phil, are you excited for tonight? You don't seem too excited. What's going on?
I'm always on my phone here, making sure everybody knows that we're live here on the podcast and we're ready to go. So make sure everybody jumps in here and gets going here. I'm always excited, and it's always fun to tell a lot of different stories and just have a great time with our guests every week.
Well, I mean, talking about making sure everyone's watching tonight, make sure you do your part and share tonight's podcast so everyone can hear our guest story. So talking about our guest, Phil, who is our guest tonight?
Well, our guest tonight comes from the Pacific Northwest. You know, that big team up there in Washington is Straight Up Racing, Bill and Lorna Payne's operation. And they have a lot of great people that run with their team and make it all happen. And tonight, our guest is one of their drivers, veteran driver for many years. He's driven just about every truck in the fleet at this point. I'm pretty sure on paper his current truck is Spitfire, but I'm sure by the time he gets back at an event, that could be a totally different truck. Without further ado, our guest tonight is John Bruce.
John, welcome to the show tonight. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good. How about you guys? Thanks for having me.
Doing good. Thank you for being a part of the show.
No problem.
Well, we're going to start it off. John, how did you get your start in the motorsports industry?
Well, in motorsports, back when in like, I think 2007, I started racing my dirt bike. And then shortly after that, right after high school, I started racing demolition derby. And then wasn't until 2015 was when I started with Straight Up Racing. Raced 2 years, took 2 years off. And now I've been back for almost 2 years. But yeah, that's how I got started in racing. Got started with Bill and Lorna with actually the ad on Craigslist mostly. I also volunteered at the Paulsville CF Walk. And Ben Jennings brought Reverse Racer out, and so I was talking to him. And since then, that's, you know, it was kind of always my goal, was I've always wanted to be a part of a team. So once I saw that, that was all I wanted to do.
You know, it seems like a lot of people get to Bill's shop through some sort of Craigslist ad. So what were you doing on Craigslist, looking for a job, looking for a part or something? What were you doing on Craigslist to find Bill's ad?
Well, we can't talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. It was when I was at the CF Walk, Ben told me that, you know, Bill posts on Craigslist. So he said, just look for the ad. And so I was just like, the job I was working at was becoming a pain to me. So I was like, I need something different. And so I just started looking for that particular ad, just typed in monster truck in the search bar and boom, there it was.
Well, you got pretty lucky and you got a good organization to be involved with at the beginning. So when walk me through that first time you were in the straight up racing shop, what was going through your mind?
Well, the first time it was actually, there was only two people working. It was Ezra Wilson and Dewey. They were the only two working. Everybody else drove overnight from somewhere. I don't know. So they all were, you know, sleeping still because they'd been driving all night. So basically it was just Ezra, Dewey, and I, and, you know, we were getting things done. And then eventually Bill showed up, you know, halfway through the work day. And then that was pretty much it. Changed the spark plug wires and cap on the hot stuff ride truck. And that was pretty much the first day.
So you jumped right into it. What was your background, if you don't mind me asking, before you got to Bill's shop? Were you working in like another kind of shop, or are you just always handy around vehicles?
Well, I grew up on a farm. So basically, you know, learned to make stuff out of, you know, pretty much nothing. Learned how to do a lot of random stuff that a lot of, you know, kids don't grow up doing. But all my previous jobs before working for Bill was cabinets or construction of some sort. I ran cabinet shops. I, you know, installed kitchen cabinets, built them, finished them. You know, I learned everything about cabinets. I've been doing cabinets since I was 12 years old. But yeah, that's pretty much how I started. I mean, I taught myself how to weld with a stick welder. Well, I watched my dad and then just one day picked it up and made my bumpers for my Toyota. So, you know, pretty much always been handy, but never had any automotive job background or anything like that.
But it seems like when you jumped in, you had a good grasp of what was going on. But was there any struggles right off the bat for, you know, trying to adapt to what's going on at the Bill Payne shop?
Well, I mean, I understand a motor. Like I can, you know, I'm working on my Toyota right now, rebuilding it and stuff. But like for monster trucks, you know, there's like the planetaries, the, you know, knuckles, champagnes, just what all the different parts were called. So, you know, like everybody, you know, Bill would be like, okay, we got to change this. And it's like, wait, what was that? And then, you know, so I'd have to ask him, what was it? And then it just pretty much always, you know, I always remembered what it was. So, you know, next time I knew when we were at the show and it was a hurry, you know, we got to change this part and this is how we change it. So it was just you know, watch and learn basically.
And you learned a lot. I know you learned a lot from all the different people in the shop, but who were some of the people that were there at Straight Up Racing at the time, actively working in the shop?
So when I started, it was when they were doing the whole turkey tour, or well, trying to do the whole turkey tour. So at the shop, I had Tevin Goodwin, Pedro, Robert, and Skyler and Nathan. Those were the guys that were majority at the shop. Everybody else was, like I said, in Turkey. And then once they came back from Turkey, like a month and a half into my time being there, then that's when I met, you know, Utah. And I think Utah was the only one that was full time that stuck around. Oh, Utah and Dallas. But yeah, that was pretty much it.
So when you're working with Bill Payne, he's such a dynamic individual in the business, and he's really, you know, MacGyvered himself into a lot of great opportunities. What's the biggest thing you learned from working with Bill in those early years?
If Bill run, you better like look at what you're doing and figure out what you're doing wrong. Like, because 90% of the time he'll look at you and realize what you're doing and what you're doing wrong, and you're about to, you know, catch yourself on fire or, you know, shoot sparks everywhere or whatnot. If he starts running, you better start running.
So how long was it from when you were working in the shop to where you're at an event? Was it right off the bat, or was it just a little bit here and there?
it was pretty much right off the bat. I think I was there. I think I worked at the shop for 3 days. And then after that, we headed up to Saratoga Speedway on Vancouver Island for a week.
And what was the biggest thing you gathered or learned from that first event, just taking everything in, being with the monster truck team?
That it wasn't all, airplanes and, you didn't get dirty. All the drivers did was drive. That was the biggest thing, like you always see the Monster Jam guys, the drivers, you never see them working on the trucks, but for us, we're working on the trucks. And that was the first thing I learned was right then and there, even though it was only Rockstar and Kid running that weekend, but it was still, I think Tevin lost a motor the first night. So, he was in there trying to fix it before the end of the show. I was actually selling merch, so I wasn't able to help, but that was one of the first things I learned.
So you're working with merch. I mean, that's such a grassroots way to start. I know a lot of the Bill Payne drivers will eventually move to like being involved with the ride truck and working with the ride truck. So how long was it until you had that opportunity?
It was actually the very next weekend. So we were at Saratoga. My first show was Saratoga. The very next weekend we were at Western Speedway in Langford. And I was thrown right into the ride truck right away and actually broke it my very first drive. So
what did you break on the truck that might sound Greek to some other people?
I think the four link bar, I pulled the bung out of the four link bar. Skyler was driving it, a while before I started driving it. And it's on a motocross track. So, it's not just here's a donut, figure eight, kind of stuff. It's a pretty intense ride on the motocross track. So, I don't think it was 100% my fault, but first drive, I break something, I'm good for it.
So riding along in that truck, how long were you driving ride truck for?
I think I drove probably ride truck for at least probably 6 months before I got into a racetrack. When I started, there was actually no seats open. So basically, I started at the bottom and I did ride truck. And I had no problem doing ride truck. I enjoyed driving the hot stuff ride truck.
So Bill's had a couple different ride trucks. Is there a major difference between each ride truck?
Not really. I like the way you have a lot more forgiveness with the hot stuff ride truck because the tires were bald. Like there was no grip in them at all. So like you could kind of slide it. You could, kind of break it loose a little bit. You never went over the top. Now they have full cleated tires on them. So you got to, tone it down a little bit, some spots, especially on asphalt and concrete and stuff. But, hot stuff was so much fun. That was always my goal, was to see how many kids I can make cry on the ride truck.
The crying in fear or excitement?
I don't know. I was laughing, at the whole situation. So I don't know if they were in fear. Some of them were probably in fear. I don't think there was any crying and excitement.
So eventually you move into a race truck, how'd you find out that you were going to be competing in a monster truck for the first time?
So we were actually, I don't remember exactly where we were, Estevan, Saskatchewan. And Bill called me and said, hey, such and such is moving out, or moving on to, different things. So, I need you to start, learning more of the trucks, of how to drive them and stuff. And then I think it was like 2 weeks after that was when I did my first show in Rapid City, South Dakota.
So that first show in South Dakota, what truck were you driving?
I was in Canadian Tough Guy.
Gotcha. So what was your experience in that race truck for the first time? What was just going through your mind on race day?
Well, I was nervous as usual. I always get nervous. I always get nervous when I'm riding my dirt bike, you know, for like the first little bit, but then once you start going, nerves kind of go away. But the truck had issues, for something with the, distributor cap. You could actually see it sparking from outside the cap. So something was shorting out or something. So, we got it fixed towards, I think, for freestyle, but, you know, still being my first show, it wasn't the greatest, you know, first show. Didn't understand the whole, you got to keep your foot in it until you're completely off the ramp and stuff. But, I mean, you got to learn somehow.
So what was the advice you were given for driving the race trucks, if any?
It's just, you know, make sure you're square going up to the cars. If you're going to be crooked, you're more likely going to roll over or, you know, good luck trying to save it. My truck's not locked, so trying to save it, you know, would have been a little harder. But, you know, it's just basically, you know, go out there and learn as you want to learn, you know. There's no right way and wrong way to really drive a monster truck. You just push the gas, hit the brake every now and then, rear steer, front steer. That's pretty much it.
So I know a lot of people do ask about it. And when you're in a race truck compared to a ride truck, what are the similarities and what are some of the differences?
Four wheel steer. That's pretty much it. I mean, you have so much more power with a race truck than a ride truck. The noise. But right now, like the rear steer location on hot stuff was actually similar to a ride truck, except for it was more down by your hip than up, you know, by your face for us. And then, but now all of our ride trucks, the rear steer is actually in your left hand. So like that kind of gets a little, you know, used to get a little time to get used to, you know, actually doing it like that. But that's really, really it. That's the only similarities.
So I obviously see there's a dirt bike in your background. That is a big hobby of yours. Is there any similarities or differences from being on the dirt bike to being in a monster truck?
Just basically when you're in the air, if you're in the air and you hit the throttle a little bit, your front wheels are going to, you know, pick up or your back's going to drop out, whichever it actually is, then, you know, brakes, your nose drops. I mean, that's pretty much the only thing that's similar. I mean, you could take a whole heck of a lot harder hit on a monster truck and walk away than you can with a dirt bike.
And now's a good time. Make sure everybody is liking and sharing this podcast video. I want to make sure everybody jumps in here and hears John tell his story and journey with Straight Up Racing. I know there's been a couple comments in here. I know I see one of your partners in crime, Miles Parker, is here in the comments. He's watching live. Vincent, you have another question to bring up?
Oh, yeah. We got one here from Lee Plato. And he says, what's your favorite truck you've got to work on this year? Oh, boy.
Well, my favorite truck that I've got to work on would be Spitfire. I mean, I haven't been at the shop all that much. The only thing we did the first five shows, I think it was. And then after that was when the whole stupid Rona thing happened. And that was pretty much the end of it for me. I've been working construction. The only thing I've done is drove to California and then drove to Georgia. And then before we left for that, I built headers for hot stuff and painted the tie rods and four links red.
I think Lee was looking for you to talk about the Skull Crusher, but
yeah, I kind of figured, but I'm not working at the shop. So I
mean, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah. I've seen it, but that's about it.
Yeah. Very good. Vincent, you have another question?
Yeah. So, you know, John, you've driven a lot of trucks for Bill. Does your driving style change from truck to truck, or do you usually just stick to the same thing?
Mostly stick to the same thing. I mean, except for the kid. I'm not the best driver for the kid, just, you know, because it's a completely different animal. But between the Spitfire, you know, which is my normal, the chassis that I've driven the most, and the Identity Theft chassis, they're pretty similar. They to me, they both land the best. The one time I drove high voltage, it took me a while to get used to. It didn't, to me, didn't land as nice. But I just try and do it the same for all the trucks. But I mean, there's each truck's a little bit different, so you just got to figure out what it's going to take to, you know, put on the best show for that truck.
You know, you talk about driving the California Kid. That is a very unique truck, being the short wheelbase. I mean, tell us about how it was like driving that truck compared to the others. I mean, I've heard that truck has a mind of its own.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, you just got to hope that when you land, you're going to be pointing in the right direction, because it will land and, you know, you're either going left or right. You know, if you're lucky, you're going to go straight. But I don't think I've ever done a complete show in it. There's been times where I'll jump in it to, like, if we were short a driver or something, and I would jump in it and go race. I don't think there's ever been a full show in it, which I'm kind of glad. I mean, it would be nice to drive it outside of a show just to kind of get more of the hang of it, and then you're not doing it during the show. But, you know, we drive by the seat of our pants.
So let's talk about chassis for a moment. I mean, with Bill's chassis, there's a lot of names going out there, like Saturday Night Special, Straight Up Racing Chassis. What is the correct term for Bill's chassis? Is it Straight Up Racing, Saturday Night Special? Is there any story behind that?
Well, so all of the chassis, at least that I know of right now, well, like the IT chassis, Fire chassis and Powerhouse chassis are all Saturday Night Special chassis. So they have the little SS, like the Chevy SS logo, in the back corner. From the, what the ride truck is, I don't know. But yeah, just pretty much the SS is what he patented his chassis on.
Hey, so I was just talking to my buddy, Brian Anger, and looking at some of the different bodies and identities you've ran over the years, you know, you got your start with Canadian Tough Guy, and then it was like El Bandito, which is like the same thing, and then Beast Mode, which is like the same thing. But Beast Mode really became your notable identity right off from the first stint at Straight Up Racing. I do have to ask, are you a Seattle Seahawks fan?
Of course.
So what did it mean for you to represent that very unique body at a lot of events?
I mean, it was cool. You know, like you know, once in a lifetime thing, you know. I mean, I was born and raised here close to Seattle. So, you know, Seahawks is my football team. The Mariners are my baseball team. Supersonics were basketball team. We don't have them anymore, but I mean, it was fun. It would have been, you know, more cool if we were able to do, you know, more Seahawks stuff with them, you know, like go hang out with the team or something, or the Seagulls. But, you know, it was cool to do all the local shows and, you know, have everybody come up and, you know, be like, oh yeah, you know, 12s and, you know, stuff like that.
So then at that point, you know, you're driving Beast Mode a lot and you're really any of the Fist trucks. And then you become the first driver of Pound Hound, if I'm not mistaken. Did you have any, did you help out with creating that unique truck?
No, not really. When I actually started working for Bill, he had a clay model of what he wanted it to look like. And then, he had, somebody come in and help him while we were doing everything else, to the trucks. And then that's when it became, I think helped fiberglass it once the mold was already made, but not in the whole designing it.
So were you a big fan of the puppy dog, or would you rather be with the truck with a big fist on the side of it?
Well, I mean, the you know, Pound Hound was cool. It was a cool truck, you know, like a, you know, special thing. The only thing that sucked was you had really bad tunnel vision, because, you know, everything you could only see out through the eye. And so, you know, it was hard to see where you were at in that truck.
Yeah, that was going to be my next follow-up, because I realized, you know, the Pound Hound setup, and I know a lot of people with the character trucks, they have such, you know, the vision's not the best. I think Pound Hound might be a poster child for that, because it's just two eyeballs, and, mm-hmm. you know, with a body going right through the middle. So at that point, did that make your driving a little more reserved, or just more confidence that they allowing you to run that body knowing that you could handle it?
I mean, like, I definitely, in like the small arenas, you know, I had to take a step back just because, you know, knowing exactly where, you know, the dasher boards are, because those dasher boards are not cheap. So, you know, try and stay off of those. But I mean, it didn't really matter to me, you know, like, it wasn't no, you know, ego booster or anything. If anything, that's the last thing that it did for me. It really did suck though, putting her on her lid in Yuma, Arizona last year on the first stint, just cause that was a, you know, a lot of Bill's work went down the drain with that one. But I mean, you know, it's monster trucks, things happen.
So monster trucks are a very tough business. And, you know, when I know when we had your teammate Dwight Matthews on a number of months back, we really talked about a lot of what it takes to succeed in the business. And, you know, he was very blunt with us and honest that it's not always, you know, the glory, like celebrity status, and you post all over social media. There's a lot of struggles that, and a lot of time and effort away from home that goes into making Monster Truck successful.
Yeah, very much. I mean, for us, you know, we are the ones that haul them to the show. We are the ones that fix them. We are the ones that drive them, break them, and then we load them all up again, go to the next show and do it all over again. You know, sometimes we're gone for, you know, 2 months on the road, and, you know, we don't get to see our families or, you know, significant others or whatever. You know, so for us, it takes, you know, a strong person to do this, because you really don't have a social life, because we're in a new town every week. You know, yeah, you can find people, but with each other all the time. It's not, you know, like I said earlier, it's not airplanes and, you know, fly to a show, drive, and then fly home. It's none of that for us. We are busting our asses, you know, 7 days a week. Sometimes you don't get to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning after a show. And then you're up at 6 o'clock to get ready for the next show the next day. You know, we've had plenty of those days. But yeah, it's not the whole Monster Jam setup that everybody comes in thinking that it is.
And I think it's important for a lot of people to realize that too, that there's so many layers in monster trucks and there's so many different paths. And a common one is what you guys go through with that Straight Up Racing, just going up and down the roads, and you're away from home for so long. And there's a lot of long nights and there's a lot of work that entails. And I'd imagine a lot of stops, you get a lot of people that, you know, make comments like, oh, like I want to do something like this. Or, you know, I want to, you know, get the, you know, crush my boss's car, or, you know, really make light of it. When, and a lot of those people might come out and help out, you know, at the events, but it's a big reality check when they're behind the scenes and try to help. Isn't that right?
Yeah. And there's very, very few that actually, you know, show up and actually, you know, attempt to help. A lot of them are like, they basically just show up or say they're going to help out just so that they can say that, oh, this one time that, you know, I helped out at Monster Trucks. And it's like, we really, for a person like me, I would just rather you just sit in the stands and watch. You know, you're more in my way than anything. But yeah, we always get that, oh, you have the best job in the world. You know, all you do is drive monster trucks. And it's like, no, we do a lot more than just drive monster trucks.
No, that's fair. I don't, and it's also, this is a job for you. And,
yep.
You know, you have a passion for motorsports and, you know, you found a Craigslist to be involved, but do you look at this more as a job or a hobby that you get to make a little money with?
Every job I try and think of more as a hobby. You know, if you're not having fun, then there's no point in doing it. That's my opinion, honestly. I try and have as much fun as possible. You know, when we go to shows, like when we were down in California, we all loaded up in Juan's truck and we drove down to K1 Speed and, you know, we all raced each other and just had fun. And that's what it's all about, is just having fun. So it's more of a hobby that I make a couple bucks at, you know, more than a job. But I mean, there is some days where it sucks and it really does feel like a normal job.
So you mentioned Juan. That's one of our past guests, Juan Munoz. Do you have any good Juan stories?
Oh, well, I mean, I think I'm beating him at our K1 racing, because the last time, like I said, we were in Ontario, we went twice, and I'm pretty sure I kicked his ass both times. So I think I'm winning. Like, I think I'm up by maybe three. Now 3-7, 3 out of 7, something like that. I don't know. But I mean, he's one of my best friends since, you know, meeting him that one time at Bakersfield, you know, super fan, was like, oh my gosh, Bigfoot. You know, I'm just like, who is this guy? But then, you know, he busted his ass. You know, he shows up. He's one of the ones that, you know, will show up and actually help, and not just get in everybody's way. You know, he showed up in Ontario and helped us, you know, tire things down. And, you know, we were loaded up in a day. But, you know, there's always the ones that can't do that. But yeah, Juan's pretty much best friend. We go to Supercross together. We're probably going to plan some other racing event to go to. But with all this Rona BS, we'll see.
Well, Juan's in the comments, and you said, thanks to Bill, I couldn't take you.
Yeah, Bill. Bill's thing is to wreck everybody that tries to pass him. So it was Bill actually dropped all the way to the back during the second race, and as I passed him, I just drove him straight into the wall. And then probably after that, you know, once I was passed, Juan probably couldn't get past him. I don't know. It's just excuses, you know. If you can't keep up, Juan, you know, it's okay. I'll slow down next time for you.
Oh no.
Well, you're laying down the gauntlet there. No. I tell you, you know, Bill Payne's a fierce competitor, whether he's, you know, driving a monster truck or he's in any other vehicle or setting. And I'd have to imagine that Juan's laughing on the storm there, the comment. But, you know, looking back into the monster truck, do you remember the first time you beat Bill Payne and what was that experience like?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't know the first time I beat Bill, but I know the first time we went to Alaska, you know, the whole 5-day drive up to Alaska, Bill was stomping us all, you know, all three events, all 3 days. And then the last day and best trick, I stuck IT right on the tailgate. And that was the best feeling ever, because I actually beat Bill. And so we were actually supposed to sign the trophy and give the trophy to somebody in the stands. And I told Bill, I'm not doing that. I'm keeping this forever, because I was the only person to beat Bill at an event during that weekend.
Well, we also have Pedro, Gabe Montoya, in the comments. Do you have any Pedro stories you could share with us?
Well, for Pedro, you know, everybody at the shop would talk about, you know, Pedro and, you know, how he's, you know, all tatted up and stuff like that. And, you know, so you kind of get this whole impression that he's, you know, some big badass guy. And then he, you know, walks out and he's, you know, 5'5", he does have a bunch of tattoos. I mean, Pedro's the coolest guy out there, hands down. But, I mean, yeah, Pedro's another one that, you know, comes out, helps, and busts his ass. Without him, a lot of shit wouldn't get done.
No, and it takes a strong group, and I'm sure we'll have Pedro on here down the line as we continue on with the podcast here tonight. So make sure everybody likes and shares this video and tunes in here as we continue on with John Bruce. And, you know, John, there was a period we mentioned a couple times that you did leave Straight Up Racing for a period. When was that, and why did you step away?
It got to the point to where, you know, I wasn't having as much fun as I wanted. Things come up in life and, you know, so I needed to take a break. And so I took a break for 2 years. So, I mean, Bill and I, we stayed in contact for most of it. And then that's, you know, when, after my last job, when I told him, I said, I'm planning on leaving this place because wasn't having fun anymore. And then he had an opening, so he asked me to come back. But it was just, you know, life, you know, things happened and I needed to change. So that was my change.
And that's fair because, you know, as we mentioned a little bit earlier, that it's not always, you know, the glitz and glamour that we share on social media is that, you know, this is a livelihood and about having fun. And I think that's so important for a lot of people that you can't be forcing yourself if you don't want to be in a situation that you're not having fun.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like we said before is, you know, sometimes we're gone for 2 months at a time. You know, so like you do miss your family and stuff. And when you only sometimes you're gone for 2 months and you're home for 3 days and then you're gone again for, you know, 3 weeks. So, you know, like it all adds up. So it was I needed a break. So I took my break. And I mean, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one that's done that. I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's plenty of others that, you know, do the same thing.
No, and a lot of people do. And that's kind of what keeps everybody on their toes in the business. So when you come back to Straight Up Racing, is there any difference from when you left 2 years prior, or is it just same train chugging along on the tracks?
No, I mean, it was a little bit different because, you know, when I came back, you know, Ezra was gone. You know, Dwight, well, actually, I'd only been at one show before with Dwight, but I wasn't even driving. I just showed up to, I think I was track crew of a Skagit one time. But, you know, so Dwight was, I think that was Dwight's last show, was the first show when I came back. But I mean, I think we all grew up a little bit, you know, so we all had, you know, a little bit changes here and there about, you know, ourselves. You know, I think Lorna said that either Bill or I had grown up and she thinks that it was me. So I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but, I mean, it was just something we needed. And I mean, Bill's basically like my dad. I call him dad all the time. Dwight's like my brother. So, I mean, we're more like a family now than it was the first time.
And another one of those family members, and he's chimed in a lot, he's been a part of the podcast a lot, is Dallas Glenn Rogers. And, you know, on the spirit of stories, do you have any good Dallas Glenn Rogers stories you could share with us?
Oh, God. Dallas stories? Well, the very first time he showed, or I was at the shop and he showed up because he was one of the ones that was in Turkey. He kept talking in an Asian, you know, accent. So like, I could barely understand it. And I'm like, I'm sitting there going, are you serious? Like this dude,
oh man,
the announcer, and he, you know, talks like this. And every time he was around me, he would talk in an Asian accent. So I thought it was, you know, that was the way Dallas talked. And then, yeah. And then finally one day he talked normal and I was just like, you mother, you know, but I mean, it was funny. We still joke about it today.
Yeah, I'm sure Dallas loves that story.
Yeah.
I've known Dallas for a while, and I've been in many situations where he's done that to people that don't know who he is. So it's you're not alone with that. So
I love it.
you know, so when you get back with Bill and Straight Up Racing, what truck are you driving? Is it the same chassis as before or something different?
Well, the first show at Grays Harbor Raceway, I jumped in. I was in Spitfire. So it was the same chassis as, you know, Beast Mode, Pound Hound, and all those. So it was pretty easy for me to jump right back in. The only thing that was different was instead of a turbo transmission, we had power glide. So I just had to get used to actually shifting. Whereas before it was basically put it into drive and you were gone, or put it into drive and then click down once and then, you know, then you were good. But I just, that was the only big difference was the transmission.
And so now that Spitfire bodies, it's another wild character body. What's is the vision hard in that truck as well with like Pound Hound, or is it a lot easier than maybe what the body looks like?
It's a lot easier because the whole eye socket thing, I guess, is it's open. So there's no, the only part that is in your vision is the chassis bars. And then where the eyebrow comes down, you know, in the center, that comes down a little low. But, you know, the Spitfire body is definitely the easiest one that I've driven to see out of on that chassis. I mean, IT's super easy to see. The kid's hard to see. But, you know, yeah, the Spitfire body is definitely the easiest one to see out of.
So we all know the story about identity theft. You actually got the chance to drive Identity Theft, like you mentioned. What was it like representing that truck compared to the rest?
I mean, to me, it's just another truck. You know, I'm not a super fan. You know, like if you tell me to drive whatever truck, I'll drive it. You know, I'm gonna have my preferences, but I mean, I'm not like, ooh, look, a Gravedigger knockoff. That's not me. I'll jump into whatever truck Bill wants me to drive and I'll drive it, you know, to the best of my abilities, you know, hope that nothing breaks, nothing, you know, bad happens. But yeah, I mean, it was just another truck.
So how would you describe your driving style? I mean, is your thing slap wheelies, big air? When you go out on the track, what's your go-to move?
Go-to move? I mean, I don't know. I've done maybe like two slap wheelies in my whole entire career. Juan showed me how to do a slap wheelie last year, or not last year, 2 years ago in Roseville. Yeah. In Spitfire. I mean, maybe just sky wheelies is probably my thing. But yeah, I'm not a freestyle or best trick type person. I'm more of the, you know, put the right foot to the floor and, you know, and race. Racing is my go-to.
But if I could take it back for a minute and be a super fan, out of all the different bodies, which one is your favorite?
I mean, probably Spitfire, just because, like I said, it's the easiest one to see out of. I've had the most fun, you know, driving it with the, you know, flames that shoot out of the nose, you know, makes the kids go crazy. So that's, you know, that's always a big thing for me, is to, you know, make sure that everybody's into, you know, the body or into the truck, not just me. Like I'm not famous, it's the truck. So yeah, probably Spitfire is probably my favorite one.
So what is your, do you have a favorite place you like to go and compete or no?
I mean, I like doing all the Outlaw Motorsports shows, just because all of those guys are, you know, super cool. You know, Jamie, Dan, all of that, Rob, all of them, they're all super cool. So, you know, any of the Canada Outlaw Motorsports shows. I mean, we've been to so many places that it's hard to remember which ones were fun and not fun. But I mean, I like going to Alaska. I don't like going to Alaska, but I like doing the Alaska show. That one's fun. But I mean, yeah, they're all fun. They're all different places, so really can't narrow down one.
Yeah, well, I'm right there with you. After a while, all the events tend to run together. But when you do go north of the border to Canada, what's your feelings when you go up there to Canada? You do a lot of events up in Canada, and do you have a different mindset when you go up there? I know it's kind of a weird question, but it is another country.
I mean, everybody's super cool up there. I mean, I don't think there's anybody up there that I don't like. You know, we have Marvin Anderson's up there. But I mean, no, it's not really a different mindset. I mean, it's hard to get used to, you know, when you look, if you look at a speed limit sign and it says 120, you're like, whoa, going a little fast, but you know, it's kilometers an hour. But I mean, like, there's nothing, there's not a whole lot of difference, except for when you start going more east into like Saskatchewan and stuff like that, it gets really flat and really boring if you have long drives ahead of you in the semi. But I mean, it's there's not that much difference.
Well, Phil, I think it's that time of the hour. Well, I don't even know if we're at an hour yet. It's time for Explain That Photo. Rules are simple. We'll bring up a photo. You explain that photo. We actually had some photos sent in by one of your teammates, Juan Munoz. I believe this is one of them.
Yeah, so that was the first time I met Juan when he was, you know, super fanning over Bigfoot with Dewey. And yeah, that was I don't really remember the show. I remember Bigfoot got stuck on the tailgate on top of the big mound. I think that was that show. I don't remember too long ago, but yeah, that was the first time I met Juan.
We have another picture sent in from Juan.
Yeah, so this is where we all went to a Seahawk preseason game, and this is where I got my nickname LB for Little Bill, because if you notice the way Bill and I are standing, we're standing almost identical. So everybody calls me, or well, Donald at Epidendio calls me Little Bill because of stuff like that.
Little Bill.
I think we were in Stockton, and I was cleaning, wiping down my truck before the show. This was Monroe, and we all just showed up to the track, and we were supposed to be nutting and bolting, but we were all standing around, and I don't remember. I think Lorna took the picture, but yeah, it was all of us in Monroe.
Got one more for you. Tell us about this big step up.
Oh yeah, so that was at Skagit. It was a bus stack. Nothing too, you know, out of the ordinary. Pretty fun hit. I don't think I broke anything on the landing, so yeah, not much to tell about that one. It was just a good solid bus jump with the kid tire. I think that was Juan that broke off the kid tire. Maybe it wasn't. It might have been Ezra. I don't remember, but that's a kid tire sitting right on the bus.
I don't blame Juan. Oh, no.
You know, when I look at that picture of the bus stack, it looks more daunting in a picture. So that leads me to ask, has there ever been an obstacle that you've been up against where maybe you bit off more than you could chew?
Oh, yeah, that one time in Yuma, Arizona when I rode Pound Hound. I was told that if you hit something and it hurts, hit it harder. So I took that, you know, it hurt. So I went and I hit it harder, and Pound Hound went straight up and came straight back down, you know, on the tailgate, but I was off to the side of the jump. So then it rolled over. It wasn't a special jump or anything. It wasn't like no bus stack or nothing. The bus stack in Saskatoon. I think I was either the third or fourth truck to go out of R5. Crude Behavior may have been there. I don't remember. But Robert went and hit it. He chucked a tie rod. Going over, you know, he didn't roll over. He just nose picked. Marvin hit it in IT and went over backwards. And then I hit it and I went over forwards. So that bus kicked all of our asses. But like I said, it was a bus, and the way the roof crushed down, that was the reason. But usually if there's a big obstacle like that, you know, I'll go up and ask Bill, be like, half throttle, full throttle, you know, what, you know, and he'll usually tell you, you know, like a little bit, you know, and then he'll just be like, you just have to try it. And then after that, you just try it and you know, when in doubt, throttle out, and usually all happens good.
You know, it's funny. You keep a quick sidebar. When you keep mentioning that Yuma show, I think I was at that event. So I, it's all slowly coming back to me from that that rollover. Yeah. But you know, do you look at this more competitively than others, or are you just there to perform for the crowd and make sure the truck stays in one piece?
I mean, I'm both. You know, I'm really competitive. I mean, ask Juan about K1 speed. I don't like losing. But like, I know where to draw the line. You know, I know what I'm there to do. I'm there to put on a show for the fans. So, you know, we all have fun of, you know, competing with each other, you know, just as a side thing. You know, it's not, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, like I think Dawson and Dwight had a racing battle, you know, where Dwight never beat Dawson. And so every chance Dawson got, Dawson would, you know, rub it in Dwight's face. So, I mean, there's just little back and forth like that. But, I mean, we all know what we're there to do, and we're there to put on a show.
And that's a good mindset because, you know, without the crowd and without having the trucks running, that it's not really much there. And yeah, I see another comment just came in from Juan Munoz, and he says, remember that time I spanked you in Roseville driving your truck?
Yeah, that, you know, that was another, you know, I beat him at K1 speed earlier in the year, so I had to, you know, let him win at something before he started crying. But no, I mean, I was in IT, and it was, the track was mostly grass, and all IT would do was push. And we actually were parked, the monster trucks would park on the inside of turn 3 and 4, right on the edge of the grass. And the race lane went almost all the way out to them. And I pushed so far out that I actually hit Bill.
And yeah, Juan's still laughing in the comments there. You're really making Juan's night with a lot of these keynote stories, even though it sounds like a lot of them, you had the one up on him.
Yeah, exactly. At K1, I have it up on him. You know, he did do a slap wheelie and Spitfire too at Roseville, you know. But I mean, yeah, we, like Juan said, we do keep it pretty competitive between us. Every once in a while, you know, we'll bring it somebody else into it. But, you know, it's fun.
So I know prior, we talked about you're a motorsports fan. That was kind of a little bit of an icebreaker when I was on the phone with Dallas over the weekend. And I know you're a big Supercross fan. You're a big NASCAR fan. Did you ever have any aspirations to be involved in those kind of motorsports, or just whatever opportunity arose?
I mean, it's really, you know, whatever opportunity. But the number one thing that I would like to do, like number one on my bucket list, would be either drive or crew for a 410 sprint car. That would be the biggest, you know. Over here, I have actually the Volusia World of Outlaws going on right now, so I keep looking over there. But that's, you know, sprint cars has been, you know, my biggest thing, you know, forever since I was 8 years old. We used to always go down to Grays Harbor Raceway and watch the World of Outlaws. But you know, like I'm grateful for the opportunity, you know, to drive monster trucks, you know, like. Racing, like I said, is my life. So, you know, everything to do with racing, I want to be a part of it. I mean, if I ever got into a NASCAR team, I know I'm too old now, you know, to like pretty much ever drive one, but, you know, or crew on one, probably don't have, you know, never went to UTI or whatever school they go to now. So, I mean, that's all pretty much out of it. But I mean, if a 410 sprint car team ever wanted, you know, needed help or something, you know, I would always try and go and learn, because those things are the coolest things on the planet.
And you know, that was going to lead into my next follow-up, like, where do you see yourself in monster trucks in the next coming years?
I mean, it's hard to tell with, you know, with times like as they are right now. You know, like for us, we haven't been doing very many shows. Who knows, you know, like California is going to start doing all these, you know, well, they've already started, but, you know, environmental things. So who knows if we're ever going to have, be able to have semis down in California, you know, if they're ever going to have any kind of motorsports down in California, which would be pretty sad because, you know, some of the biggest sprint car drivers come out of California, all the Supercross, you know, most of the teams are based in California. So, I mean, I really don't have a prediction on where Monster Trucks will be.
And, you know, when you talk about California, one thing that has been able to happen, especially right now when we're recording this, when the world is still spinning in a weird direction, it was the Hot Wheels Ultimate Drive-Thru. You were out there for about 6 weeks in California, then now everything moved out to Georgia. What has that experience been for straight up racing and, you know, your involvement being a part of something different while in a time where almost everything is different?
I mean, it's cool. You know, being able to see, you know, some of the one-off Hot Wheels cars. That was the coolest part of being about in Ontario, was just seeing all the different cars and stuff. We never got to go actually do the whole drive-through thing to see what it was like. But I mean, it's cool to, you know, be able to get out and do something, you know, to at least have somebody else out enjoying the monster trucks besides them just sitting at the shop the whole time.
And I do have to ask, as a, you know, a super fan, do you have a super fan moment when you're around like the original Bigfoot and Bigfoot 5 and unique vehicles that you don't run around a lot?
No, see, I had to take pictures of Wong every time, you know, Bigfoot moved. He was like, oh, you know, take my picture with it. You know, I mean, it's cool seeing all the different, you know, trucks like, you know, Bigfoot 1 or the one with the giant wheels, whatever, 11, whatever. I don't know which one. But, you know, like it's cool to, you know, to see all that. Like, you know, I'm into cars and stuff and trucks. So, you know, that's cool. But I don't know which number Bigfoot was what.
Nope, that's fair. I, you know, I have to ask those goofy questions because I think the responses are actually pretty good. And another goofy question for some is that a lot of people have, you know, dreams to drive a monster truck. And, you know, you're obviously a monster truck driver, but if you ever had a chance to drive a truck that you haven't, what truck would it be?
I don't know. I mean, I would drive any monster truck. As long as somebody else is paying for the parts, like I would drive a Monster Jam truck in a heartbeat, you know, just and go up and wad it up like they do. That'd be pretty cool. Doesn't matter which one it is. Either one, any of them is fine.
See, I like these responses. They're very, I think they're very wise. You know, and I ask that question to certain people because it's like, oh man, I grew up watching Avenger or Gravedigger or, you know, or a specific Gravedigger say, I really just want to drive that truck. But I think it's also a great mindset that if you really want to be in the business that you work hard towards something and then you're given the opportunity to be appreciative that you're in a driving seat.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, the attitude that I hope, you know, everybody would come into this job doing, but everybody just, they're all like, ooh, you know, monster truck. That's all I get to do is drive monster trucks. And that's definitely not it.
Now you got that right. Vincent, you have another question?
Yeah. What advice do you have for someone looking to get their foot in the door into the industry?
Don't be scared to get dirty. That's basically it. You know, especially now all these, you know, younger guys that, you know, they see Monster Jam and they're like, oh, all they do is drive the truck. And, you know, unless you have know some people that know some people to get you into Monster Jam, you're going to have to start at the bottom. And usually at the bottom isn't the clean spot. It's sad because we have so many people that come through the shop that's what they expect. Is, you know, to be, you know, everything, you know, shiny and clean. And it's not, you know, we work our asses off to try and make it that way, you know, but, you know, you're going to have to learn, you know, you're going to have to learn how to do everything and you're not going to be able to do everything right off the get go. You know, you got to earn some trust with all of us. You know, and you got to be honest with us. If you mess up, you know, man up and say, you know, oh, my bad. You know, I did this, I did that. You know, I've actually put two holes in the side of one of Bill's haulers. So, you know, and as soon as I did them, I called Bill up and told him, hey, you know, my bad. And, you know, he was fine with that. It's just the, you know, people think that they don't have to, you know, man up to their mistakes anymore. And it's, you still do. You know, this is Bill and Lorna's money is what's, you know, makes all this stuff go. So we got to have respect for it. So if you mess it up, you just got to say something.
Yet another great answer. And it's so important that a lot of people hear these responses, and, you know, we've talked about it a lot, and well, I'll just keep stressing it, that it's not always what it is on social media and at, you know, on videos. And, you know, there is a part to that, but it's about a lot about hard work and just and knowing what's around you. And it could be very dangerous, and knowing that you have a spot that where you can make a difference. I think that's important. And, you know, John, I think you said it best there where, you know, maybe you don't know 100% everything, but you show up to work and you're willing to learn and you're willing to know if you did something wrong and grow from it. And I think that's a lot of people might not understand that.
Yeah. I mean, we all make mistakes. We're humans. We're not, you know, not everybody's perfect. I mean, like I said, I've messed up, but you know, I was the first person to go tell Bill. You know, Bill even makes mistakes, and you know, as weird as that sounds, I mean, when he makes a mistake, we all rub it in his face. You know, it's just one of those, you know, how we have fun. But, you know, it's all you got to learn from, you know, from everything, mistakes or the goods. You know, you still got to learn from the goods.
You know, John, I'll make this our last question. I try to ask us at the end of every episode, and I'm really curious to hear your response to this. Because you do look at the sport differently than maybe some others. You know, you've been in the monster trucks for a while now. You've driven a lot of trucks, and you're going to be involved with it for a lot while longer. But when it's all said and done, what do you want your legacy to be?
I mean, I'm a nobody. You know, all I'm there to do is to put on a show and make the truck look good or make the truck perform. That's all I do. I'm nobody. You know, I guarantee you that half the people that are watching this really have no idea who I am, and I'm okay with that. You know, I'm not the big headed one, Juan. No, I'm just kidding. But you know, it's not an ego booster for me. I'm having fun doing it. You know, I'm lucky to do it. I'm grateful that I'm doing it, but it doesn't matter to me, you know, if people know who I am or people don't know who I am.
Well, I'm going to ask my final question, and that is, will we see you back in the driver's seat anytime soon? I know there's a lot of crazy things going on back right now, but when shows start kicking up again, will you be back, or are you going to take a break still?
Well, I mean, the only reason why I'm taking a break is because we're not doing shows. And there's really not enough work at the shop, you know, for all four of us or however many there are on the team right now. And I have an opportunity to make, you know, make other money doing something else that I enjoy. So I'm doing that. So far, you know, we do have a schedule, but everything's, you know, nothing's for sure yet. I know we still will. Everything's down in Georgia at the other Hot Wheels thing. And then I think it's down there until the beginning of March sometime. And then after that, I don't know what's for sure. I mean, hopefully we can do shows again and, you know, everything can go back to normal and, you know, all this other stuff goes away, but who knows? I have other work to, you know, to keep me busy and keep me making money. So I'm going to keep doing that until Bill says, okay, we're ready to go do shows.
Well, I think me and Phil can agree. It was awesome having you on tonight. Definitely good to hear your perspective on the monster truck industry. Phil, don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why I love featuring a lot of drivers from Straight Up Racing. And give you guys time to shine. I know I was saying a lot of times it's about, you know, the truck. You know, I know when you guys like sign autographs, it's a lot of like the truck names, but you know, you guys
it's
are
only the
drivers.
Truck names.
Yeah. So you know, you guys are the drivers, and this is always a good opportunity to let you guys shine and really give good answers and a lot of great advice, whether direct or indirect, for people that want to get involved with the business. And I always love hearing that perspective.
Yeah. And I honestly think, like, for me, not knowing anything about, you know, monster trucks at all. Well, I mean, I knew about monster trucks kind of, but like, you know, not knowing, like I said, the Planetary, the Champagnes, you know, all the different parts and stuff being called. I think Straight Up Racing's one of the best teams to go work for and learn from Bill, because, you know, Bill knows a lot. Like, you know, he is goofy and he does weird stuff, but he knows a lot. And, you know, without Bill, I probably still would be, you know, doing nothing on monster truck team. I know a lot of people, you know, say that Bill's, you know, super unsafe and stuff like that. I would trust Bill with my life. You know, the way he drives, you know, is like nobody else. He knows the ins and outs of every single truck. He drives, you know, with his heart, and he's putting on a show for the fans. But if anybody honestly wants to get a start in monster trucks, Straight Up Racing's where it's at. You're going to learn just about everything about monster trucks.
And that's the way it was. John, it's always a pleasure talking with you. We hope we can see you at an event very soon. And if not, maybe we'll see you here back on the podcast sooner rather than later.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, John. We really appreciate you joining us here tonight.
Thank you. No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, that's another great perspective, Vincent. We've had a lot of people on board here from the Straight Up Racing team, and all their responses are very much the same. And the reason why I like asking those hard-hitting questions is because of the honest responses. And I think if a testament to a lot of what Straight Up Racing does is the hard work. And it's a reason why they're still really the largest monster truck team outside of Fell Motorsports going, because of the hard work and the people that they have there that truly understand that it's not always play, but when you can get to play, it's all worth it.
I mean, when you have just such a large fleet of trucks, you just have to have a good group of guys to get the job done and have their heads straight. And, you know, John gave us his perspective on things, and it was great hearing. I mean, same with Dwight, who we had a couple months ago, another Straight Up Racing driver. So it's great hearing from the drivers from Straight Up Racing, and I'm excited for more.
Absolutely. It's always great to hear different stories too. And that's what we like to try to do here. We like to tell a lot of different stories, especially with our guests. And, you know, next week we'll have another great episode with another great guest. So make sure you stay tuned on our social medias. Who's coming up next here on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast. If you do want to go back and check out some of those past episodes of some of those past Straight Up Racing drivers, or really anybody, they're in our video archives on our Facebook page. Just go to that video tab, live podcast episodes. You can see our entire library. You can find us all audio only wherever you can download podcasts, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. All the big players. Actually, I got an email today. We're on another podcasting platform. So really, wherever you listen to podcasts, you should be able to type in Monster Trucks, Outlaws of the West right there in the search bar. We'll come right up. A lot of times we're the number one search when you type in monster trucks. So
yep.
Wherever you're on the go, you're at the gym, you're at work, wherever and whenever you listen to podcasts, you can find us. And keep on supporting us. Make sure to like and share this video one more time. This will live on in the archives, and it will make sure a lot of people get to catch up on the replay. So make sure you're sharing this video across social media so everybody can hear what John had to say tonight. And make sure you're liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram. We like to stay active on both those pages, and that's the best place to find out who's coming up next here on the Monster Truck Outlaws of the West podcast.
You said it perfectly. We're going to be back next Friday.
That's correct. We'll see you then.